Get a job.
Work hard.
And one day you can retire and do the things you want.
That's the typical formula for daily life in the modern world.
And it works for lots of people. This kind of life is perfect.
But it's not for us. And I'm guessing that it's not for you either.
I'm David Allan Patali.
And I'm Carmen Allan Patali. And together we run the content company Red Platypus.
I'm also a published fiction author.
And we have two young daughters who keep us on our toes.
We've both said no to well-paid jobs in favour of pursuing our creative paths. And we want to walk them with you.
Freelancer, digital nomad, artist, creative, self-employed. Whatever you want to call it, if you work for yourself and want to keep it that way, or want to be free from the 9 to 5 and don't know where to start, we want to help.
We're going on a journey to speak to committed creatives, people who are all in, who have made highly successful businesses out of their creativity, and ask them how they do it while retaining the magic.
Because while we think inspiration is good, we've come to learn that process is vital.
Welcome to the Committed Creative Podcast, your toolkit for the creative life you want.
Here's to going all in and becoming a committed creative. This week on the podcast, I talk to the amazing Stephanie White, who is the founder of Steph Spills Inc., a photographer who focuses on brand photography. Steph is such a lovely person. She's really engaging and she really gets the best out of the people she's photographing because she brings out their personality and truly makes them feel comfortable. In this chat, we talked about branding, we talked about business, and we talked about so much more. Steph was a delight to talk to. I hope you enjoy this podcast as much as I enjoyed creating it with her. So without further ado, let's jump in. Hi, Steph, and welcome to the podcast. I'm so excited to have you with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to chat all things creative.
Yes, it's going to be great. So maybe just to kick off, you could explain a little bit about yourself and your background and what it is you do.
So I am a personal branding photographer. So basically what that is I photograph business owners and I photograph them in their best self, in their most authentic, with their most authentic messaging and things like that. So that basically they can show up online, create wealth and create impact.
Love it. Love it. And how did you get into that niche photography?
So I actually fell into it by accident. And I remember I'd had an accident that had basically forced me to live with my parents again. I moved back home. I had $300 in my bank account and I was really struggling. But what I was finding joy in was drawing little mandalas. So I was obviously always being creative. And I started photographing them, these pictures on the wall, things like that, so that I could put them and sell them as an e-commerce business. I sold like two paintings, sold two things. But I realized how much I love taking the photographs for the website. And somebody on Instagram messaged me and said, would you be able to take some photos for she was selling like Tupperware, but it was for like fitness food. So like you've got your protein and your carbs and your fats in like different compartments. She paid me $400 and that was it. It was an accident.
Wow. So you weren't doing any photography before then?
I had a lifetime of photography. So the photography had, my dad's a photographer filmmaker. It's second nature. My family, all photographers. It was nothing new. It was just monetizing something, a skill that I had.
Great. And so how did you go from, I guess it was product photography in a way, if you were photographing the food, to photographing business owners and CEOs?
So I realized that the part of it that I loved the most, and this is the most important thing, was finding out what I enjoyed the most, and that was photographing people. So I needed to be able to combine the two. So I stumbled across this thing called branding photography. And because obviously there was a name for what I was doing, and that opened up a world to all kinds of education and knowledge, and it grew from there.
Amazing, amazing. And how do people find you? Is it mainly through word of mouth or is it through socials or what's your main marketing tool?
So my main marketing tool would definitely be Instagram. It's word of mouth for sure, but I treat, and this is what I encourage other photographers to do as well, is to treat your Instagram like a portfolio. Long gone are those days where you've got a single page for your portfolio. Your Instagram is now your business card and it's your portfolio. So 100% Instagram all the way. And obviously referrals, because my clients love me.
Definitely. And actually we kind of met through one of your clients, because our business coach, Steph Gorton, we're both in her mastermind business group, and her business group mentorship. And yeah, that's how we met. And you've done Steph's photos in the past, haven't you?
Yeah. So I've been Steph's photographer since, I'd say, about 2018, maybe 2019. So it's been a long time.
Wow.
A long time.
Yeah, you've been with her on her journey.
Yeah.
So do you mainly photograph women? Do you find that that seems to be a target market, or is it varied?
Yes. So I feel like I photographed men in the past, definitely. I mean, I'd never say no, but it's always about rapport and relationship building for me. So connection is something that's very, very high on my list of values. I feel like I just connect better with women. And
yeah,
I can be silly and be fun and go, yes, girl. And like that, just there's a way of encouraging a woman, and there's a way that you can see how she goes from shy and nervous at the start of her shoot to like she feels incredible afterwards. And that is so fulfilling for me, that women are definitely the powerhouses of the world, I'd say.
Yes, I love it. And I love that you really seem to bring those women out of their shell. How do you do it? How do you build that confidence in front of the camera? Because it can be quite intimidating to get all dressed up and then try and look natural to get these amazing photos. How do you allow your client to relax and encourage them to look natural in front of the camera, I suppose?
So there's a million tricks, but I've got a few. So I always start out a shoot with really slowly. So I judge how she's feeling. If she's feeling really nervous, I just look at her in the eye and I go, okay, just breathe. There's no expectations here. I'm here to look after you. Your photographer should be performing for you. You should never, ever feel like you're needing to turn it on for them. They need to be able to get the best out of you. So it's always a case of I talk constantly behind the camera. So, and by the end of it, they go, wow, I was just hyped up for 2 hours. And I feel incredible. And that's the truth. If you're doing really well, I'm going to be like, yeah, that's amazing. Yes, hold that pose. And I'm constantly talking. So you're never standing there going, what the heck do I do with my hands? To be, you know, celebrated for 2 hours straight with your hair and your makeup done. Like there's nothing better than that. You just leave feeling on top of the world. And that like permeates towards everything else in their business, because they go, wow, if I can show up for a photo shoot like that, then I can absolutely show up in every other avenue of business.
Oh, I love that so much. And your photos, like everyone has to go and look at Steph's Instagram, because they are not those stuffy corporate portraits, or it's just like a cheesy headshot with the white background. No way. Your photos always have so much energy, and you're obviously really good at nurturing your clients when you photograph them, because everyone looks like they're bursting at the seams of confidence and just look so excited to be getting their photo taken. I really, really love it. What kind of advice would you give to someone who's searching for a photographer to get photos done for their business? What would you advise them to ask a photographer if they're trying to select or choose who they should go with?
So first and foremost, don't ever expect a photographer to change their style of photography for your brand. So if you are, if you've got a very dark and moody feel to your business, perhaps choosing me is not going to be the best match. However, if you come to me and say, this is what I really like, I'm like going to say yes, because I'm going to be as creative as possible. But just be aware that the photographer's style of work is their signature style. So you've got to be able to match. It's got to work. Another thing that I would make sure is that you have a rapport with them, because it's vulnerable showing up on camera and feeling at the mercy of a complete stranger, because often the first time I meet someone will be at a photo shoot and they've paid me money and they've never met me before. We've had 2 phone conversations before, but you need to be able to go, yeah, I trust this person and I know that they're going to deliver and that I feel as though I'm going to get the outcome that I want. And the other thing is to get the best out of the photographer is talk to them. If you're not happy, say something. If the Like, for example, I'll never be offended if you say, oh, I don't like that photo. I know that's not a reflection on me. That comes with years of maturity, but I know it's a reflection of how you see yourself, and I want you to see yourself in the best light. So I'm going to adjust things and try different things to make you as the client happy, because ultimately that's the most important thing. It's not about lining my own pocket or about feeding my own ego. It's 100% about making sure that client has the best experience possible.
That's so great. Some great business values there. And you mentioned that before you do a photo shoot, you have two calls. What's the process like from beginning to end of the customer journey with you?
So customer journey normally starts with, I want to talk to you on the phone first and foremost. So this also just, it sets expectation, also gives me, and I put down all of the notes and I go, this is who you are. This is your business. All of these things, I can go and stalk you a little bit. And then we send through pricing and things like that. Once we've, you know, sorted that out, and I'll always encourage photographers, you've got to get a deposit before you do a shoot, because that creates that seriousness. Now the client's going to show up for themselves because money's being exchanged. It also means that you can set aside that time for that client. After that, I love it when people send me through like their Pinterest boards or like real ideas that they love or photos, things like that. Because I just put it all together. And then we have a creative call in which we plan the shoot. So we know exactly what you're wearing, where we're meeting, what time we're meeting, your lipstick color, who your makeup artist would be, like what outfits are we bringing, what quick changes are we going to do. And while I'm talking to you, I can find out how confident you are, how are you feeling, how, you know, what can I do to step up there for you to make it an even better experience. And from then onwards, we go through and have a photo shoot, and it's, you know, it's always an incredible experience.
How long does it take?
So it depends on the shoot package, how long it takes. So we've got three shoot packages. Two of them have got video and the one of them doesn't. So if you're like first photo shoot and you're feeling really nervous, I'd recommend my base package. So that's 2 hours. There's a few outfit changes. It's one like really flexible location that we can get variety, and that's very important to me. So by the end of our longest shoot package, which is 4 hours, I can promise you, you're sick and tired of smiling like this for 3 or 4 hours, you know, like. So, yeah, I like to cap the time at max 4 hours.
And how do you scout for locations? Is there anything in particular you look for?
What's beautiful about Perth and the photography community in Perth is nobody really hides their locations. So we share, you know, between the photographers in the area, we share locations. So we're very blessed in Perth to have beautiful homes that are out for hire. We've got multitude of really stunning studios. We've got the incredible CBD. We've got nature. We've got so much, and you can do so much in a small space. So I've just got like a database of locations, and often these locations are so popular that the client will go to me and go, oh, I want to shoot at the studio. And I'm like, yeah, cool. Let me book it for you.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And did you do much training to become a photographer, or are you mainly self-taught, or did your dad teach you?
So I'm going to be a little controversial here. I don't believe that going to university for photography is necessarily the best thing to do for your craft. If you're needing to learn photography from scratch, to be honest, I'd save my money and get onto YouTube, and you're going to learn so much more on YouTube than you are at school. I didn't go to school for it. I just learned watching dad.
That's
I was
awesome.
Really privileged in that. And what the advice I would give is get onto YouTube, get onto Google, buy courses, hire coaches and people that have been there and done that, because they've got a modern way of teaching you and they allow your inner creativity to be. I've had messages from different photographers. Like I'll put an Instagram video up. And it's got my settings. And they'll go, why are you shooting with those settings? And I go, well, why does it matter? We're so taught in photography school that these numbers, and yes, it does make sense that the numbers on the camera do have a specific outcome in terms of the image and the way it looks, but it doesn't matter at the end of the day. And I feel like photographers get caught up on what settings are you shooting on, and it doesn't matter. And what I'm encouraging photographers to do is to find creative outlets to learn from, get your camera and go and take photos. And that is the best way to learn test, experience, be a creative, and don't feel like you're put in this box that you will be when you go to uni for photography.
Yeah, I feel like it almost stifles creativity when, you know, you need to have it on a certain setting and it doesn't allow you to explore and tap into different things that you want to do. I must say, like, even journalism, you can study all the theory you want at university, but it's not until you get out in the real world and you actually start interviewing real people and, you know, recording footage and all that in the real world that you start to learn. I feel like there's so many, especially the more creative professions, where university is almost redundant these days, especially with the wealth of knowledge on YouTube and things like creative writing. You really don't need to go to university for that.
No, 100%. 100%. I think it's a very dated way of receiving education. Obviously, mm-hmm. if you need to be a doctor or a lawyer, it's a little bit different, but there are certain things that we need to, yeah, catch up with at times.
Yeah, the education system's got a lot to answer for, yeah. Actually, I think. So let's talk about creativity. How do you tap into your creativity? And do you ever feel like, oh, I'm just not feeling creative today? And how do you get over those slumps if you do feel that?
Oh, I feel it all the time, honestly, because if I've got a couple of shoots a week, I'll drain that battery in the first shoot. So I now need to try and recharge before the next shoot, because every client deserves 100% of me. So the thing is, rest. And I find that completely switching off and doing something completely not creative really helps. So different things, like I go to the gym and that's a real outlet for energy, and I spend time in the garden and that kind of thing. So finding things that you love to do that are not your job and that are not necessarily that kind of creativity to re-energize yourself. And on the way to every single shoot, I listen to Eminem. I can rap Slim Shady for you if you wanted.
Go on.
On second thought, maybe it's not a good idea, but the podcast will get shut down. All the windows will break. But yeah, so I get into the zone with Eminem or something like that to just get me going again.
Oh, I love that so much.
A little cringe, but, you know.
How do you find working on your own? Do you ever find it's a bit lonely or?
So when I first started my photography business, I worked by myself and eventually got to the point where the business grew so quickly that I needed extra help. So my partner said, well, let me help you. And at the time he was studying, he was still doing a cybersecurity degree. And I was like, no, I don't need your help, X, Y, Z. Had a breakdown, and he was like, please just let me help you. So magically it worked. And at the moment I run the business with him, and he's the operations manager, and he manages all the finance and things like that, so that I can really stay in my zone of genius so that our clients get the experience that they need. However, yes, business has been lonely. And that's why I reach out and join masterminds like Steph's masterminds and go to events like the one we met at, and, you know, just to stay connected to humans that are not necessarily clients.
It's so true. Because also, I don't know for me if it's the same for you, but for me, like, a lot of my friends don't run their own businesses, so they don't really understand. And if I go on a rant about something in the business, sometimes they're like, okay. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. You're lucky in that your sister as well runs her own business.
Yeah.
Do you want to share a little bit more about that? And because I believe you might be working on something together.
Yes, so we are. So my sister runs a business that she started it about a year or so ago. And she basically runs launches for coaches. So if you've got a course and something you want to teach, if you're a creative and you want to teach copywriting, or if you're a creative and you want to do this, this, and this, she launches your course. So she sets up the tech side, she helps you with your marketing strategy, and she does all that. And I've started working with her in that business. I've started taking over some of her marketing and some of the internal stuff, which is really, really exciting. And that's also another reason why I'm not particularly lonely, because I work with her, and she and my partner, she, myself, and my partner have decided we're going to be starting a business building systems for people. Because what happened was my photography business got to a point where, and this is why Nick was so important in the growth of the business and why I so desperately needed him, was because he had this wealth of knowledge and the set of skills that I did not have. He has this logical, thought-driven brain that can go, well, if this happens, then this happens. And like, I'm very, very creative. He's very logical. Mm-hmm. So it was like the dreamer and the realist came together and created magic. So we go, okay, well, Kate's got this audience that need our help. So we've come together and gone, all right, my business runs off a phone. Let's try and create that kind of thing for other people. So that is in the works at the moment. And it's really, really exciting. It's moving really, really fast, which is really overwhelming, but it's a dream come true.
So great. How do you deal with business? I mean, your photography business and now this one taking off so quickly. How do you stay on track and not get too flustered and overwhelmed with it all?
So the beautiful thing is that I can do this because we set up my photography business so well and spent the last 2 years building the systems, the processes that it runs. I hear it a lot with business owners, especially people who are creative, because there's so much going on in our brains that one thing will fall out because we're focused on other things. The most important thing is to set up a business that is going to be sustainable, that you can step back and it still runs, or that you've got a team that can support that world. You cannot be the sole provider in your business for long periods of time. It's not possible. And it's going to hurt you in the long run. So we spent the last 2 years creating space to bring in extra revenue streams, to do other creative things, to do other fun things, to explore the possibilities of the business world, because ultimately we're entrepreneurs. So the most important thing was to create space. And thank you to Nick, we have. So the business will run a couple of hours a day. We just go in, do some checks, answer the emails, prepare shoots, things like that. I still do all of the marketing, social media, connection. And he basically runs all the back end stuff. And that's now provided us space to grow in other avenues.
That's awesome. Do you have any favorite tools that you use for back end management?
Back end management. So there's a few. The top one is Zapier. Have you heard of Zapier?
Yeah.
Zapier is probably, and I will quote Nick, he said, whoever created Zapier was an absolute genius, like God tier genius. Zapier is one of Nick's favorite things in the world.
What do you link to Zapier? Because I know it zaps certain things.
Because of the amount of automation that we wanted, it's always very dependent on each business. So the amount of automation that we wanted was we had multiple programs. So our customer relationship management software is ActiveCampaign, and it also runs our email marketing. We needed that to be able to connect and go, all right, to our accounting software, which is Xero, and those things needed to connect at the click of a button. And that's what Zapier does. It gets different programs that don't talk to each other talking to each other.
So good. I actually don't use it myself, but maybe I should look into it.
It's absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I do have an affiliate code, I think. I could get an affiliate code if anyone wants to sign
up. Share it. We'll put it in the show notes.
Absolutely, please. Yeah. So.
And I know your sister is, you know, the master of online courses. Have you ever run an online course? Or is it something you've ever thought about?
Yes, I have. I actually have an online course. It's called Business for Photographers, and it's literally teaching everything that I learned off YouTube and experience and Google and all of these things that I kind of compiled and brought into my brain whenever I needed them. It's all there on a course. And it's ready to go. So if you're a photographer and you're starting up and you don't know where the heck to go next, I'm definitely going to shamelessly plug it because it's really, I wish I'd had it when I'd started.
Is it video modules?
Video modules, there's worksheets. So we've got different calendars and things like that to help plan out your marketing, you know, what systems you need to start, that kind of thing. So it's all there.
And it's self-paced, isn't it?
Yes.
Amazing. So you mentioned that you work with your partner and your sister. How does it go working with family? Because I work with my husband and let's just say we've got separate offices.
All right, so we work very differently. Nick needs to talk things through. So I'll sit there and he will talk to himself. He's talking to me, but he doesn't necessarily need me to answer, but he processes out loud. Whereas I'm the complete opposite. I want to be left alone. Don't disturb me for 4 hours because I'm going to get lost in here. And if I don't set an alarm, I'm going to just forget that the world exists. So, yes, we've also got separate offices, but that's because he's noisy and I'm easily distracted.
And do you have anyone else working in the business, or is it just the three of you so far?
So I've got an incredible photo editor that helps me with the volume of images that need to go out, and she's over in the US. So I've never actually met her in person. Her name's Haley, and she's been part of our business for probably going on a year now, year and a half. That's the thing. Everything else it's all run so well that we've got space to do the things that we really want to do. So we had a bigger team. We've recently scaled back so that we can manage all of our other projects. But yeah, it's incredible. It's been incredible.
So you've got an editor. Is that because you like shooting more than editing, or you just not have the time to edit the volume that you take?
Purely the time. So there was a time where I was shooting 3-4 times a week, and I want to get my photos out to clients within 2 weeks. So that's an incredible volume of images to cull, because you've got to go through and, like, if your face is doing this, I'm not going to let you see that image, because why? I needed the assistance and I needed the help. And she came in and she was like, no, I got you. I'll edit. And she does. She's better than me. And that's what you want in team members. You want people that are better than you. You don't want people that are just like you. You want people that are better than you.
So true. And it's like what you said before, how you and your partner complement each other because you've got different skill sets. I think that's one mistake that entrepreneurs sometimes make, is they're just like, I just want another me. And it's like, no, you want someone who's got different skill sets so they can bring something to the business, not just repeat what you already have. I think that's pretty important. Have you always been an entrepreneur, or have you ever worked for someone else?
So I've had a very interesting history. I'm only 27 years old. My parents left South Africa because we grew up in South Africa when I was just about to finish school. I stayed and decided to do a year at uni. And in South Africa, there's no such thing as HEX or anything like that. You pay it out of pocket. My money ran out after a year. So I got a job in a daycare as a teacher's assistant. In South Africa, no qualifications, anything like that. It's not a thing. So I was underpaid for a year, and then eventually my relationship broke down. So I came over to the UK to meet my parents, and I had an accident. I got a job working with horses, and it was the best summer of my entire existence, like just living on a farm. I had an accident at work one day, and it changed my life, and I had to move back in with my parents. We came over to Australia because my dad's an Australian citizen, and we really needed the sunshine. From then onwards, my parents, I just lived at home because I was physically incapable of getting work or doing anything like that. I was on very heavy painkillers every day and just overall miserable until I started drawing. Those little drawings, and this is where the story links back, those little drawings turned into me photographing those little drawings and someone contacting me on Instagram. And it launched a business that, you know, I turned $300 into $300,000 over 3 years. And it's incredibly rewarding. So I haven't had the typical, yes, I had a job and I left my corporate job to start a creative business. But I'm very proud of that story.
Yeah, you should be. It's amazing. So how old were you when you had the accident?
I was about to turn, I was 2 months away from turning 22.
Wow.
Very young.
And yeah, are you fully recovered now, or do you still?
I'm fully recovered now, and I'll give credit to the gym that I joined here in Wangara, and my mindset towards wanting to be well and wanting to be better and wanting to have more to life than just living with mum and dad for the rest of it.
It's amazing how things can be born out of hardship, and sometimes, you know, it's your life path to have this adversity, and then it can lead to greater things. You mentioned mindset there. How important do you think mindset is in running your own business?
Like, for example, I've got my mindset coach. I'm having a session with her this afternoon. You've got to keep doing it. It's just something that it's the most important thing, because you can have literally the cookie cutter road to success. Someone could tell you, this is what you do and you will earn $1 million, for example. Everyone would be like, well, I'd be like, yeah, I'm listening. What do you want me to do? You can implement all those things, but if you don't believe it and you don't have the fortitude and the drive to create it within yourself and the belief, it's just not going to happen.
So true. I really think that's so true. And even, you know, we've been running our business, it'll be 10 years next year. And even last month, I was just like, oh, I just had so much self-doubt. And, you know, I'm feeling a lot better this month, but I feel like, you know, there's peaks and troughs in the journey. Do you ever battle with self-doubt, and how do you kind of get yourself over that slump?
All the time. I feel it like more often than I care to admit, but I know admitting it will probably help someone else. And my partner has to sometimes say to me, Steph, remember you are brilliant at what you do. Because I'll go to him, I'm like, I'm not good enough, I can't do this. And like just all this very negative self-talk. He'll bring me back and go, no, you are actually talking absolute nonsense to yourself because you are brilliant. Look at what you've done. Look at the evidence of what we have created together and your part in it. So definitely find someone that's going to help you pull yourself out of that slump, especially when business is not great or when things are quiet or you're feeling frustrated, that kind of thing. Just to always make sure you've got people in your corner that are going to be your cheerleaders.
So true. Do you think it's more a female thing to feel that self-doubt? I feel like my husband doesn't feel it as much as I do. I don't know.
I think it's so dependent on the person. I think Nick doesn't doubt himself, but he's got other things, you know. So it's, you know, it shows differently from person to person versus male to female. I do think men are a little bit more stoic about it, but I think it depends on if you're either in your masculine or in your feminine, depending on, you know, where you're at as a woman, how you're showing up, which is very much dependent on, I believe, your cycle and the moon and all of the things that a person would believe in is how they show up. So yeah, I think it's so dependent on person to person.
Do you think there's certain personality traits that makes for a good entrepreneur?
Oh, yes, 100%. You've got to be kind of insane. You've really got to be a little bit stupid. Like, and you can be smart, but you've got to be stupid enough to continue to, you know, if you're going to continue to hit yourself on the head, you've got to be able to be smart enough to recognize that you've got to change something. So, you know, like my parents are entrepreneurs and they have been their entire, you know, I've never known dad go into an office. He was always working from home, and that was the best part of growing up. But
yeah,
you do need to be a little bit insane.
Yeah, it was the same with my mum. It's so good having that. And that's why I'm glad I can provide that for my kids, you know, always being around. But it's so funny that you say that you have to be a little bit crazy, because sometimes I actually wish, I'm like, oh, you know, I wish I was comfortable with just doing a 9-to-5 job sometimes. Like, how much easier would my life be? Just roll out of bed, don't have to worry where the next, you know, paycheck comes from, don't have to hustle, it just arrives. And yeah, sometimes I'm like, what am I doing? You do have to have a certain element of crazy to keep persevering and failing and getting back up and dusting yourself off and keep going.
Yeah, 100%. It's like, you know, the innocence of a toddler. It's the innocence of a toddler. Like, they'll fall over, but they'll always get back up because they have no other, there's no other perspective. They don't understand that they could stay down. Like, they might cry and scream a little bit, but they will always get back up.
Yeah, I love that. Oh, I love that analogy. Yeah. So if you could tell an entrepreneur maybe wants to start their own business or even get into photography or whatever it might be, what one golden tidbit of advice would you give them, do you think?
Just start. It does not matter where you start. It does not matter how you start. Start. You've got a vision for what you want it to look like. It's not going to look like that today. It's not going to look like that tomorrow. But start with something today, because I started photographing Tupperware and it turned into CEOs. There's 3 years, there's 4 years of work that went into that. I didn't start photographing CEOs. So start with the Tupperware. You never know where to go. Yeah.
I love that so much. Stop procrastinating.
Yeah, procrastinating. Just do it. Take your sister out into the backyard. I didn't have anyone to photograph and I wanted to practice. I photographed my sisters. The poor things were sick to death of it.
Now your sister probably loves it because she gets all this, you know, Instagram.
Yeah, I know. It's very spoiled. It's very spoiled.
Well, thanks so much, Steph. It was awesome to have you on the show today. And where can people find you if they want to give you a stalk on Insta?
Definitely find me on Insta, and that's Steph Spills Inc. So it's STEF Spills Inc. And yeah, come send me a message. I'd love to have a chat. Say that you came from listening to this podcast and I will, yeah, we can have a yarn.
I love it. Thanks so much,
Steph. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Committed Creative Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode and learned at least one thing that will help you stay on the creative path.
If you liked it, please subscribe as there's plenty more to come. And we'd love it if you could leave us a review if you found the podcast worthwhile. And if you didn't, please send us your feedback. We're all ears. You can check us out online at redplatypuscreative.com or follow us on Facebook and Instagram at redplatypuscreative.
Remember, you are not alone in your creativity and you can make money from your creative pursuits. See you next time when we speak to another creative mind that's committed to making their way work.
Here's to going all in and becoming a committed creative.